In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, 38 years ago, Archbishop Lefebvre performed this heroic act of consecrating four bishops without papal mandate. And because of this act, many good things have happened in the Church. First of all, the movement of traditional Catholicism has been able to grow and really flourish over the past four decades. Countless souls have been able to receive the traditional and authentic teaching of the Church and worship at the Mass of all time. Besides that, other institutes, traditional institutes, have been allowed because of these consecrations. They've been allowed to be started and exist in the Church, I think especially the Fraternity of St. Peter and the Institute of Christ the King. And the bottom line is that many, many souls have been saved because of this act. And this past week, our Superior General, Father Palirani, announced that we are planning to repeat this act, to do consecrations of new bishops. It's not been specified how many or even where the ceremony will take place, but it's been announced for July the 1st. And this is just quite simply a huge event in the history of the Church and the life of the Church that will have enormous consequences. And in this sermon, I just want to really address two things. First of all, why is this act necessary? And then second of all, why is it justified to do this? First of all, this act is necessary. We believe it's necessary because of our duties to Holy Mother Church, to her spirit, to her traditions. We do not want to abandon our mother in this time of her greatest trial, perhaps the greatest trial in the history of the Church. On the contrary, we want to do all that we can to support her in this trial, to build up Holy Mother Church. And it's just simply a fact that the life of tradition in the Church today lives and dies by the SSPX, by the Society of St. Pius X. If the SSPX goes away, then tradition goes away. And so these consecrations are necessary for the continuation of tradition. And then secondly, we need to do these consecrations for your sake, my dear faithful, for you to be taken care of, for you to continue to have access to the traditional Latin Mass, to the traditional teaching of the Church. You faithful have come to us, the priests of the SSPX, and you have said to us, please, in this time of crisis, please give us the traditional catechism. Please give us the traditional doctrine. Please give us the traditional sacraments, because you recognize that there's great danger in the new spirit, the new liturgy. And the fact is that the SSPX takes care of hundreds of thousands of souls around the world, like yourself, who want these traditional means of salvation and truly believe that they need these traditional means of salvation for the health of their souls. And of course, the SSPX was established for the formation of good Catholic priests, for the ordination of priests. And you can't have priests unless there's someone to ordain them. If priests can't ordain themselves, you have to have someone who possesses episcopal power to be ordained a priest. And so the SSPX has to have bishops to accomplish its primary mission of the formation and ordination of priests. As I mentioned, Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated four bishops in 1988. Two of those bishops have died. The two remaining bishops are in their late 60s, and they've been accomplishing an insane itinerary of travel for the past 38 years. They've been traveling around and around the world for the past 38 years. And of course, they can't do this forever, not going to live forever. And this is what has led to this situation, that currently, unless we do something to make more bishops, we're not going to be able to survive. Think about St. Isidore's. We've been having this capital campaign, and the faithful have been so generous to this capital campaign, showing that they really love St. Isidore's, and they want St. Isidore's future to be assured for this parish to be able to continue. But all these investments, sacrifices the faithful have been making for St. Isidore's, they will come to nothing if we don't have bishops. It would be like the clock will be ticking to the place where this place, St. Isidore's, would no longer be able to function, because we wouldn't be able to supply priests. Eventually, we wouldn't be able to supply priests unless we have bishops to consecrate priests. So without these consecrations, all the work of the SSPX around the world would ultimately have to cease. Currently, the SSPX has about 1,500 members between its priests, brothers, and nuns. It's located in 77 countries, has almost 800 mass locations around the world. And between the SSPX and the religious communities associated with it, there are about 140 schools around the world. And what I'm saying is that all of this would go away without bishops. These hundreds of thousands of faithful would have to find somewhere else eventually to go to Mass. Why is this the case? Quite simply because Rome does not like traditional Catholicism. This is the sad fact of the matter. For the past 60 years, Rome has wanted this reality, which we call traditional Catholicism, not to exist in the church. It would have preferred that it not exist in the church. How do we know that? We know that because, quite simply, the fact that there are no traditional Catholic bishops. There's only one traditional Catholic bishop in the past 60 years who's been appointed by Rome, Bishop Rifon. And he was appointed in this little diocese in Brazil for his little community only after making serious compromises. That's it. That's it for the past 6 years. I mean, if Rome liked tradition, then Rome would be consecrating tons of traditional Catholic bishops. There would be tons of traditional Catholic bishops around the world. Rome would be looking for good traditional Catholic priests in order to make them bishops and supply the church with traditional Catholic bishops. But as I say, this is not happening. It's very clear that Rome does not want tradition to flourish, and it's just kind of managing a problem that it wish would go away. So this is why our bishops have had to travel around the world for the past 38 years. And, you know, it's really out of respect for Rome, a respect for the authority of the church, the structure of the church, that we have waited so long. It's a long time to wait and to ask these two men to take this burden of tending to all these souls through confirmation and ordination for so long. So we're now in the same situation that Archbishop Lefebvre faced. It's a do or die situation. We must consecrate bishops or die. Of course, we asked Rome for permission, but you know, the news has come out that Father Palerani asked to see the Pope. He got no reply after a couple of months. He sent a second letter explaining the situation, explaining that you know, our bishops are getting old. We need bishops to continue our work. Asking again to speak to the Pope, to see the Pope. He got a reply back, not from the Pope, but from Cardinal Fernandez, who's in charge of the Dicastery of the Faith. For whatever reason, it seems like the Pope doesn't want to speak to Father Palerani. So he's having him speak with Cardinal Fernandez only after the date of the consecrations was announced. They're going to meet on Thursday. Be frank and say I'm not very hopeful about this meeting because of who Cardinal Fernandez is. And this obvious manifestation of the Pope that he doesn't seem to be too favorable to us if he doesn't want to talk to Father Palerani. But we pray that somehow a miracle of grace may touch these prelates in Rome, that may soften their heart towards the work of tradition, towards the church's authentic identity. It's likely they will not give permission. And so we have to ask ourselves, is this okay to go ahead with the consecration without permission from the Pope? The main question in this act that we're planning on doing is it pleasing to God or is it displeasing to God? Is it something good and holy or is it something sinful to do this thing? That is the main question. And I think it's helpful for us to ask ourselves the question, is there ever a situation, can we imagine any situation when it might be justified for bishops to be consecrated without the permission of the Pope? Think of a situation, for instance, when you have lots of bishops in the church teaching that Christ is not God, denying the divinity of Christ. This is going on all around the church. And there's all these parishes where they're teaching that Christ is not really God. But there's some bishops who are still holding the true teaching that Christ is, in fact, God. And some of these bishops are even taking extraordinary measures to hold on to orthodoxy. There's actually historically a true story. A bishop, Eusebius of Samosata, we call Saint Eusebius, who was going around during the Arian crisis, disguising himself as a soldier, going to these places where the Arians, who were denying the divinity of Christ, were establishing their parishes and ruling dioceses. He was consecrating bishops and putting those bishops in those places where the Arians were in order to counter the bishops, these Arian bishops, in order to maintain the true teaching of the church that Christ is God. This was Saint Eusebius of Samosata, a historical figure in the history of our church. I think we would all agree that what he was doing was good, and the church has agreed that what he was doing was good because they've given, we call him Saint Eusebius. So we have to ask ourselves as well, for the faithful of that time, what are the faithful of that time, what should they have done? Should they have gone to the official diocesan church where it was being taught that our Lord was not God, or should they have gone to this sort of other church, this clandestine churches where they were holding on to the true faith? Obviously, we would think they should have held on to their faith by going to these prelates who were teaching them the true teaching. So once we recognize that these situations can happen in the church, that our Lord can't allow these situations to happen in the history of the church, then we have to ask ourselves, is today, the situation that we have today, one of those situations? Are we in that situation today in the church where there is basically rampant heresy in the church? There's rampant liturgical abuses. The authentic doctrine of the church is not being taught. The authentic morals of the church are not being taught properly. In short, that there's a great danger for souls in the church at large. Are we in such a situation today? If we are, then of course it's justified to make these consecrations, and in order to provide as much as possible parishes like this where we're actually teaching the authentic and traditional teaching of the church. Father Paul Irani, in his interview, he says, "It is sad to acknowledge, but it is a fact, that in an ordinary parish, the faithful no longer find the means necessary to ensure their eternal salvation. Missing in particular are both the integral preaching of Catholic truth and morality and the worthy administration of the sacraments as the church has always done." Think about the doctrine of no salvation outside the church. Think about the exaggerated respect for the dignity of man, where we have to respect all religions. We can't call these religions false religions anymore. where we have to respect all these aberrant lifestyles, where because of this false respect for man, you know, the death penalty is not declared to be intrinsically wrong. It's a dogma of the church that the death penalty is not intrinsically wrong. Communion is given to the divorced and remarried. Blessings are given to same-sex couples. The loss of the faith in the past 5 decades has been cataclysmic. And it's hard not to see that the church is really suffering today. It's a cataclysmic situation. The church is dying. So it's almost like all the water sources have been contaminated with some disease, and people just keep drinking this water, and you have some people who say, we've got some good water here, we would like to provide this water for the help of people, and they're saying, no, you cannot come in and you can't intervene and give people the good water. We're saying, but this is what's going to heal everything. Traditional means of sanctification, traditional doctrine, this is what's going to heal the church and make the church flourish. Tradition is flourishing in spite of being persecuted in the church today. And they won't allow it. They don't want precisely the remedy to the problem of the crisis in the church. So this forces us to say, well, you know, we would feel like it would be wrong for us to sit back and do nothing and just say, well, I guess it's all just going to have to crumble. I feel like it's our duty before God, a duty of charity to Holy Mother Church, to these souls, to provide them the traditional faith and traditional sacraments. So, my dear faithful, the bottom line is that these consecrations are needed for tradition to continue with the full freedom it has in the SSPX. This is an historical moment, and it's time for us to renew our prayers for Holy Mother Church. We definitely want to pray for this crisis to be resolved. But in the meantime, we continue to suffer with the church and to do all that we can for the good of Holy Mother Church. I think we especially turn to Our Lady at this time and beg for her aid. Our Lady, so faithful at the foot of the cross, so faithful to our Lord at the most difficult time of his life. We ask her to change the heart of so many of these prelates in the church today, soften their heart towards the true identity of the church, to the true teachings and liturgy of the church, and also to make tradition grow and bear abundant fruit for the good of the church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.